Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, na, na, na. Oh, na, na, na. Da, 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 da,
for granted, still faithful and true, you've
right, welcome to Nation. Tonight's topic, we're going to be talking about the Nation Building Presents, the real FOI. Hey, this is the Divine Intervention with Brother Jason X Lottery Muhammad. And I got Sister Gidget on the phone lines, Brother Richards on the phone lines. I have Brother Rakim on the phone lines. We got everybody on the phone lines tonight, man. So it's going to be a really good show. So everybody, if you have a question, just press 1 on your keypad, and we'll see the question mark pop up, and we'll pick on you and ask. You can ask your questions, all right? So I'm going to get started now. Brother Jason X, what's up, man?
Brother Black Caesar, it's good to hear your voice, and I'm glad to hear you. Assalamu alaikum. Hotep, we like to say peace and blessings to the family, those who are listening via Blog Talk Radio. We thank you for tuning in this evening for part 2 of Tuesday evening show, Divine Intervention. This one we're calling The Gift. So we, as Brother Black Caesar said to our guests, those who are out in the audience, we'd like to make sure that this evening is going to be a conversational style. So I really want to get to your questions, and I really want to get to your comments, those of you who were gracious enough to join us or rejoin us as a result of Tuesday evening show. I'm going to be very brief tonight myself, but we'd like to get right into it. I'd like to welcome our panelists this evening, Brother Richard Muhammad, Sister Gidget Muhammad. I'd like to welcome our dear brother Rakim, and those who are also on the line. I'd like to welcome you out this evening. I'm going to start the way that I'm going to start the show the way that I started on Tuesday evening because, again, that portion wasn't heard. So in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, what is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts and deeds and action. He is alert and dependable. So I greet you all again with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Now, we're going to get right into it. This evening, as I said in the past, it's Divine Intervention, The Gift. And I want to get right into it. I want to start by introducing you or reintroducing you to those who are the hosts. Of course, Tuesday evening show is Brother Rakim and Brother Richard's show, The Real FOI. But of course, seeing as though I'm interviewing them, they can't be your host, so I would like to ask them questions this evening for the audience to really get to know them. Thursday evening show, as you all know, is our Queen Sister Gidget's show. So because she can't interview herself, I would like to take the time to interview her as well so you in the audience can get to know them a little bit deeper. And, of course, as I said, I'm going to be brief tonight. So let's get right into it. Brother Richard, what type of childhood did you have? Can you give us a little bit of understanding as to your childhood, big brother?
Well, you know, like I said before, brother, you know, I grew up in an area that some consider the worst part of the United States. You know, they produced Mike Tyson, World Be Free, Fly Williams, you know, and various other great people who went on to do, you know, great things in, you know, different professional sports. However, you know, growing up, it was constant, you know, murder, and murder. You know, and it was really, really tough, you know, growing up, you know, trying to survive the street life.
Yes, sir. And Sister Gidget, what was your early upbringing like? What type of environment did you grow up in?
Well, I grew up in a very close-knit family environment with my father, and at the time that I was growing up, it was just 10 brothers at home. So I was in a family of men, so I was spoiled and overprotected, and militant and tomboyish and everything else. And I grew up in Compton, so I had a similar background to Brother Bridget as far as growing up on, in the concrete jungle, so to speak.
Yes, ma'am. Now, Sister Gizzy, did you grow up in a home, a house? Did you grow up in the apartments? Did you grow up in the project? What type of environment was it? I'm just trying to give the audience just a view of what it was like growing up.
Well, we grew up in a home, of course. There was no apartment that could hold all of us. But, yes, we grew up in a home, grew up in the community, which is South Stoneacres Memorial Drive, which is kind of at the end of Compton. It was very community-oriented, but we had the traditional things that L.A. is known for, the games. And, you know, I grew up right around the corner from the jungle, the apartment complex, one way in, one way out, and everything went there. So, you know, it was the hood, you know. But my father was FOI, my brothers were FOI, so we were a highly respected family. And so we didn't really have any problems in our immediate community, but problems were around us constantly.
Yes, ma'am. And Brother Richard, what type of home did you grow up in? Was it apartments, housing projects, home? What was your early life like in terms of your environment?
Well, you know, I grew up in a housing project. You know, the projects was 22 stories high, and it just seemed like everybody was just being piled on top of one another, and it was, again, constant gunfire. You know, if it wasn't gunfire, it was stabbings. It was just, you know, I mean, now that I'm older and I look back on it, you know, it really isn't a place that you want to raise a young growing child at, you know. And it's terrible, you know, that, you know, people have to grow up like that. But you know, fortunately Allah saw fit to raise me up out of there, so I'm thankful for that.
Yes, sir. Many brothers and sisters. You had many brothers and sisters.
Yeah, I have two brothers now. I have three brothers, but one of them died. I have two sisters, you know. And the movie Education of Sonny Carson, you know, a lot of people don't understand is that that's the environment where I come from. And a lot of my oldest brothers, they was in gangs, and you know, they fought with, you know, people such as, you know, those who know them, Arpa, who was Champ back then. It was two people called Champ, but these brothers was in the street, man, real, real heavy, you know. Baby Sam, and you know, these are notorious people that rule, you know, the drug organization, man. And you know, a lot of people that I grew up with, they either dead or they lifed out, man. They put their lives out. They behind bars, man.
Yes, sir. And Sister Gidget, how about you, brothers and sisters?
I am the 29th child of 31 children by my father, of course. There were 23 boys and 8 girls. And so, like I said, by the time I came along, those that grew up in the house that he didn't were just brothers. So, a lot of family, a lot of nieces, nephews, great nieces and nephews. It was a large family plus the extended family that we had within the community and within our mom number 7 at that time.
Yes, ma'am. Now, if you would, could you give us some of your early recollections of Islam and how you came into what we now know as your own in the Nation of Islam, if you were Sister Gidget?
Well, my father was what I titled an undercover for a very long time. He was one of the first African-American police officers in Houston. And, of course, police officers at that time, most of them were all Masons. And so my father, in order to keep us safe or keep my brothers who were born at that time safe, he had to attend St. John Baptist Church, and he attended the lodge. And after church, you know, my feasts at that time were held at 4 o'clock, and he would go to the temple, is what they were called at that time. And so upon him retiring in 1962, he left Texas to Los Angeles, where he was able to finally wear his X and raise, you know, the rest of us in the mosque, of course, you know, openly and freely. And, you know, we just, how can I say it? Islam is not new to me. I mean, you know, it's not like I can share a story about when I first heard Jesus. I always heard him. But the most profound thing I remember is November 19, 1969, when I actually met Elijah Muhammad. And at that time, I was 4 years old. And I remember my father trying to beg give John Elijah Muhammad greeting, and I was, even at that age, I was in awe of him. And I remember him very soft-spoken, and he said, no, he said, she's just studying me. And I just remember not really being able to say anything, but just looking at him. And so that is one of my greatest memories of being in mosque and growing up the nation. And the nation in the first was very different than what it is now. I think we had closer bonds back then, you know, brothers were close to the house, and you know, and escort me to MDT classes, to MDT activities, because I was the only girl. And so this was real close, but I was younger than them. So we were just like family, you know, it's like the lieutenants or anybody were, you know, above us. There were no big eyes or two views, so it was all family.
Give me,
yes,
Sister Gidget.
Yes.
Sister Gidget, your phone, I don't know what's going on with your phone, but your phone is making like a drone-like noise. Every time you speak, it's clear when you don't say anything, but when you start speaking, it starts making this real noise like Darth Vader or something.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Well, that's a little bit better. Speak again, sister.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, ma'am. That's a lot better.
Right. Thank you,
okay.
Brother Rakim.
Thank
you so much, sir.
Sorry.
It's good. So I'm going to move forward, cause, Brother Black Caesar, do we have any of our guests, anyone like to ask any of the panelists? And I'm going to bring Brother Rakim right in on this. This is more like a get-it-to-know-you session, and I just wanted to give a big shout-out to Brother Rakim. He's on the air with us, and I want to do a separate, like a separate vignette with just Brother Rakim. So, Brother Richard, we're going to go to you now. And what is your earliest recollections of Islam and your introduction to the Nation of Islam?
Well, brothers, you know, I had what they call knowledge of self at 11 years old. You know, I come from the 5% nation, you know, the nation of gods of earth, as they call it now. And I was given the lessons that I now know belong to my father, the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad, you know, at an early age. But I was given these lessons by, you know, a brother that, you know, was at that time called my enlightener. And I was very young, and, you know, I was very studious with the lessons. And I will always, you know, I was one of them brothers that I always wanted to build, so to speak, you know, meaning to get a cipher going and let's exchange knowledge and wisdom, you know, and it was one day I was heading to, I was given a tape called The Night of Majesty by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. That was the first time I ever heard him speak, and I really didn't know who he was. And one day I was going to the Parliament, you know, at the this is the rally that the Nation of Gods and Earth holds, and it was being held on 127th Street at the Harriet Tubman School, where, and this particular day, I was walking and I was hearing this voice, and I was like, wow, this voice sounds familiar. And the closer I got to the school, the stronger the voice got. So I'm like, hey, this sounds like that guy that was on the tape, you know. And before I know it, I had a face with the voice, and it was as if the closer I would go, the people would just move, and I just wind up standing right in front of the minister. He was speaking outside in a bulletproof glass casing. And I just fell in love with him the first moment I saw him. And after that, he spoke at the 369th Armory in Harlem. And I went there, and the following week, one of the brothers invited me to the mosque. And, you know, I'm so thankful that I accepted the invitation, because it was at that, my first encounter ever at a mosque meeting. I happened to go to the mosque, and the minister was on the rostrum teaching. And at the end, he did the acceptance speeches. And, you know, he asked for those who wanted to join and help him, you know, would they stand up? And, you know, I stood up and I went up front. And when it became my turn, I just cried, you know, and I couldn't stop crying. And I asked him, I said, can I hug you? And he said, no, brother, may I hug you? And he hugged me for a couple of minutes, brother. And it was like I was just in God's arm, man. And I really can't describe the feeling, but I was overwhelmed, you know. And, you know, of course, the believers were screaming Allahu Akbar, you know, because I was well known in the streets back then. And It was just an awesome feeling, beloved.
Yes, sir, brother. I was one of those believers that was screaming Allahu Akbar that day.
yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir.
All praise is due to Allah. Now, I would like to bring into the conversation our beloved brother. This is a brother many of you who are listening, you know and love. He's always got a wonderful spirit about him, and I would be remiss without saying that he brings a particular flavor into the group that is, I can't say unusual, but it's very familiar. It's somebody that you would know, that you would have a family member, somebody that always brings a particular style into the conversation. So without any further delay, I would like to ask our beloved brother, Rakim Muhammad, if you would just tell us about your early days and your early recollections of the Nation.
Yes, sir. My early days, brother. As a matter of fact, I want to just say assalamu alaikum once again to the panel.
Yes,
wa alaikum.
Big brother Richard, big sister Gidget, and my big brother Jason. I mean, we got this nation building thing going. And I want to say assalamu alaikum also to the listening audience out there. No matter where you are, we love you. And we're glad that you're tuning in to Nation Building Radio tonight. But back to me, I grew up, but I had the best of both worlds. I had the country, and I had the city. I had Mississippi, and I had Chicago. And as a matter of fact, I had the city of Jackson, and which is the capital of Mississippi, and I had Chicago, which is the capital of Illinois. So I had the best of both worlds. I grew up, brother, in a single-parent home, very strict mother. Very strict mother. And, you know, I was the oldest of three boys, which means I had my what they call the middle child. He was 7 years younger than me, and my baby brother was 10 years younger than me. So I was the first baby, obviously. But I grew up, brother, in a gang-infested area just like anyone else. Most people would say, well, you know, Jackson is country. Jackson is not country. Jackson is pretty much city as well as any other city. We have the projects. We have the gang bangers. We have the dope dealers, the pimps, prostitutes. We have all of that. As a matter of fact, if you study history, all of your major criminals, they originated from the South. Mississippi was one of those states that a lot of the kingpins in the drug underworld come from. I grew up in I'm a Latino descent, so quite naturally, I grew up in a Catholic school where we worship Jesus, Mary, and whatever the hell else they wanted us to worship. And I always questioned this. So at the age of, I'd say, maybe like 11, 12 years old, I started questioning the sisters, the nuns at the school. I'm like, you know, I'm an avid reader of the Bible. I love to read. And at this time, I read everything I could get my hands on. And the book that was presented to us the most was the Bible. We had to go to Mass every week, and all through the week we go in church or whatever. And I'm questioning the nuns about Jesus. Why are we worshiping Jesus when Jesus made it plain as day? Do not worship him. Worship none but the Father.
Yes, sir.
I'm questioning this. And then God said, do not worship no God but me, for I'm a jealous God. And I'm asking them, why are we worshiping Jesus, Mary, and these apostles? And they telling me, don't question the Bible. I said, I'm not questioning the Bible. I mean, brother, I used to stay in trouble. I was always in the office. I used to get those paddles. I know y'all remember the paddles. I used to get that paddle on my back. So simply because I was a very different child. I questioned everything and analyzed everything that was given to me. And so at that point, you know, I was studying the food, I was studying the dietary laws of the Bible and everything, and, you know, I just knew that something was wrong with what I was being taught. And from that point on, I believe I was a Muslim. I didn't know what a Muslim was. I just knew that something was very different in the way I believe and the way I was taught. And so back and forth from Mississippi to Chicago, and I'm listening, you know, by the time I get to high school, I'm into rap music very deep. I become a little rapper, and my favorite rappers are like Big Daddy Kane, KRS-One, and Public Enemy, and a brother out of the West Coast, a brother Oscar Muhammad, better known as Paris. I mean, I was influenced by them, and they were talking about, I heard Public Enemy and Big Daddy Kane, they mentioned something about Farrakhan.
Yes, sir.
Well, I didn't know who Farrakhan was, but me analyzing everything that was given to me, whether it was orally or verbally, I was like, I got to find out who this Farrakhan is. Well, nobody could give me no information. At the time, we didn't have no computers. You know, well, the schools had computers, but computers was not accessible to everyone in their homes.
Yes.
At that time. And so I just kept listening to the music, and they was like Farrakhan, and I'm hearing Big Daddy Kane say peace to the Nation of Islam, and they mentioned the Minister Farrakhan's name. Then I hear excerpts of his voice in music.
Right.
And I'm like, wow. And so one day I'm out with some friends of mine. I'm at the skating rink. It's like a little club and skate rink, a little teenager club. And I see some Muslims with the Final Call papers outside the club, outside the skating rink or whatever. And I remember this plain as day. I met a brother named Brother William Muhammad out of Vicksburg, Mississippi. And I was like, man, I didn't know the Nation of Islam was even present in Mississippi.
Yep.
You know, I know they were present in Chicago, but you know, Mississippi, this is like my first one-on-one encounter with a Muslim from the Nation of Islam. Now, prior to that, it's so much, brother, it's so much. Prior to that, I had, like Brother Richard, I had become a member of what we call the 5% Nation of Islam prior to me coming into the ranks of the Nation of Islam.
Yes, sir.
I also studied Dr. York.
Right.
And so I was studying him, as a matter of fact, back and forth from Mississippi to Chicago. I used to go to some of his tabernacles, as they called it. And I don't know, brother. I'm listening to everything I'm taught. You know, I'm reading everything, and it's like something is missing. I meet these brothers from the Nation of Islam, and I get the final call paper. I have an intimate conversation with this brother, Brother William. And I started going out to the mosque. And now, by this time, I already know my lessons. You know, being in the 5%, you know, we got to study and memorize our lessons. So that gave me an edge. But, you know, the lesson was kind of different from what we were given in the Nation of Islam. Brother Rich, you know what I'm talking about. Certain wording.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, some of the wordings. It's like parallel civilization. That is not in English. What's the English lesson number one?
Yes.
No, in Lost
Student Enrollment. Excuse me.
Yes.
Family. Yes, student enrollment. That was a part of student enrollment.
Yes,
and
sir.
And I started studying, got into the ranks, and heard Mr. Farrakhan. Because the brothers only played with Mr. Farrakhan. They drank coffee and ate bean pie, ate bean soup. And at the time, I couldn't get into no beans, no bean pie. You know, I was just the name bean pie. It just did something to me. But brother, once I taste that bean pie, I lost my damn mind.
Yes, sir.
I lost my damn mind. As a matter of fact, I just got you making some bean pies tonight. But,
voila.
Yes, sir. So I got, you know, it was a message to me, you know. It was enlightening to me because it allowed me as a rapper to put knowledge, you know. Now I'm not just talking about a bunch of, you know, noise, talking a bunch of noise. Now I got substance in my lyrics. Brother Jason, you know what I'm talking about. Brother, you're a very talented rapper yourself.
All praises due to Allah, brother. You know, it dignifies us, and that's exactly what happened. As you were talking, Brother Rakim, I was going over the lyrics, like when you would say, I heard Public Enemy, and I was going over in my head, I was like, yeah, Farrakhan's a prophet, and I think you ought to listen to it. All the lyrics, when you say KRS-One, you heard just a snippet of the apostle's voice. He said, let us move on. And you're like, it would stick with you in the lyrics and in the music. I would like to move on, Brother Rakim, and I was talking, the next part, as you so eloquently put it, is going to deal with the music. Sister Gidget, in growing up,
yes,
how did music affect you and your family?
Well, okay, can y'all hear me?
Yes,
ma'am.
Okay, I want to make sure. Initially, we really didn't have music in the house. My father had Mahalia Jackson, and I heard Aretha Franklin singing, and I wanted a song by her, but my father would only buy me her Amazing Grace album, and I learned that album. I've sung that album back and forth, and music became very integral in my life. And my father, he never really gravitated towards music, but he would always tell us about the history of music in the village from where my grandfather was born outside of Nairobi. And he would always say that music is what brings us together and gives us that rhythm of unity. And he would tell us about how when there was discord in the village, that one of the elders would get the drum, and everybody would come, and at the end of the playing of the drum, everybody would be on the same accord, and it would be peace, and it would be love, and it would be unity. And so that part is somehow rooted in me. So I grew up singing. I was a nightclub singer by the time I was 13 years old, and it was a big old deal because, you know, I was a little MGT, and I was supposed to be in the club, but this man begged my brother. And so I remember singing in the clubs and having 20 FOI standby, and, you know, it was, you know, it's just a part of my life, and it really centered me. I grew up in the era where I had the best music, I think, 70s music, the late 60s music was the best. And it really centered me, gave me peace, and it gave me an avenue. It gave me an outlet for those hard times. I could always refer to a song, or I could always refer to a beat to kind of get me through the tough times. So music is very integral in my life. I couldn't just live without it, so I'm still singing today. So,
yes, ma'am. And Brother Richards, how about you, brother? What type of music did you listen to? Did music play a part in your upbringing in your early days?
Well, to be honest with you, brother, you know, in my early days, brother, I was one of them brothers that when I went to the club, it wasn't really to listen to no music, brother. You know what I mean? And I really don't want to, you know, get into that part of my life, brother. But, you know, as I came into the nation, you know, working with different artists and whatnot, you know, my interest in music started growing. You know, I was fortunate enough to be able to bodyguard the late Tupac Shakur for a little while. And, you know, brother's a wonderful brother, man. His knowledge of music and poetry is really, really something that people need to really, really take a deep look into to brother's mindset, man, because it opened me up, you know, to a lot of things. But, you know, at this stage in my life, brother, to be honest with you, I'm an R&B man, you know. I'm just laid back, smooth, and just want to relax with it, you know.
Yes, sir. It's something about the vibrational tones of music, and as Brother Rakim said, the lyrics in certain songs that always tie us to a point in time, as well as tie us to the people who are around us when we're hearing those songs. And you could hear a song, and it would transform you to a particular place and time when you first heard it, or it first made an impression on you, and you could almost be there as though it was the same exact day. It's just the vibrational tones in music. So,
yes.
Brother Black Caesar, I was wondering, do we have anyone on the line that would like to ask the questions at this point? Because after this point, we're going to step it up a notch. We're going to get a little bit closer into this aspect called the gift.
No, we don't. But do you think I to a song right quick? I think a song is due right now.
Well, that's what we're talking about, music. So that would be It would be absolutely appropriate. So thank you, Brother Black Caesar.
Thank you. Having a little problem. Hold on 1 second.
Well, if the music doesn't play, Brother Black Caesar, it's fine. I just would like to take the time just to break up show just a little bit, just
okay,
to move on. It's fine,
the song is loading, man. Let me. Hey, go ahead and talk. If the song comes on, you'll know it. All right.
Yes, sir. So I was just as we were talking about music, I just happened to be up in Harlem tonight. Minister Abdul Hafiz was speaking for our family, our extended family. A young brother by the name of Matt Grant has died in a shooting here in Harlem, and his family requested Minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad of Muhammad's Mosque number 7 to say some words at his at the young brother's funeral. 21 years old. He graduated from college in May, and by July, he is no longer with us. And I just passed the Apollo Theater as I'm driving to go back by Muhammad's Mosque number 7 because I was on post right up into the time that we started the show. And I just wanted to give a shout-out to those that are listening that are working on behalf of the teachers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know our day runs from Mind the prayer. 5 o'clock in the morning.
We are a nation of geographic boundaries.
I was hoping I wouldn't have to write this song, and you would learn the difference between right and wrong, and the devil's grip wouldn't be too strong, and the hook would be good, and you could sing along. It is and it is, your decision is prison. They want to snatch your guts and lock us up. It is and it is, your decision is prison. They want to snatch your guts and lock us up. The devil got you out there on the corner. Your block stays hot just like a sauna. From ghetto New York to ghetto California, your brother Jason X is gonna warn you. Got a question for you. Answer me, thug. Why is he rhyming if he's pain selling drugs? He's a product of the devil's technology. Pitching and drop stitching on the same drug industry. Pitching a lifestyle to the weak minded. Snitching on those living the life while you're blinded by all that glitters, which is not gold. The truth to the youth is about to unfold. It is and it isn't. Your decision is prison. They want to snatch your guts and lock us up. It is and it isn't. Your decision is prison. They want to snatch your guts and lock us up. The devil's got a plan that will not fail. Do you know how much they get to build and run a jail? Little towns upstate, it's their number one industry. Blacks and browns found in their penitentiary. Sick with their system, their penal and senile. A trick to enlist them as slaves in the meanwhile. Using our music as tools to corrupt them. Used and abused, stay in schools to bankrupt them.
Criminal justice system. This is Jason X.
That's a great song right there. I think that song right there brought it out. Who was that song right there? Is that Public Enemy?
No, sir, Brother Caesar. You know you threw me a curveball on that one, brother. I didn't know you was gonna play any of my music, brother. All praise.
Hey, you know,
Brother Jason X.
Brother Jason.
Yes, sir, Brother Rakim.
That was dope. That was funky fresh. Check this out, brother. That's payback, brother, because I'm going to tell you something. For the first time, Brother Rakim has never been at a loss for words, but I didn't know that you were going to throw that curveball at me and interview me tonight, so I was kind of nervous. I was up here like, I'm studying my own speech pattern. I'm like, damn, I'm nervous.
But there's nothing to be nervous about, Brother Rakim. I told you tonight, it's going to be a conversational style. My interview style is really conversational. I really want the audience to know that we are a family, that we are brothers and sisters of one another, and that we have to get to know one another from the inside. You know, I never physically met you, but I met your mind. Sister Gidget, I never met Sister Gidget, but I met her mind. I mean, Brother Richard and I, we basically grew up in a mosque together, so we've known each other for a long time, but one of the things that I would like to say is that I'm relearning my brother. Is everybody has a point in which they grow, and if we, just like when you have children in your home, you're the parent, so you really don't see the evolution of your children because you're so close to them. Sometimes they go away to college or they go away to school, and when they come back, you recognize them as a full man or woman because it took a little bit of distance in order for you to appreciate the growth and development. So I've been away from my brother for a little while, and when I came back to meet him again, he, meaning Brother Richard, had been almost a different person altogether. The outside looked the same, you know, plus or minus a few pounds, but the inside has changed, and that's the part of this tonight's Blog Talk Radio that I want to get into now is the part we're going to refer to as the gift. And the gift is not irrespective of the giver of the gift. Most of the time, if we have a gift that we like, most of the time we would tell people, listen, you like this tie set? Oh, my beautiful wife bought me that tie. The gift and the giver are generally connected together. So I wanted to move on to the next portion and talk about something that most of the audience has already witnessed over a period of time, and that was the melding of the minds of Brother Richard and Sister Gidget. You know, their coming together has almost been played out in the media, so to speak, and from the time that they met. For real, right? From the time that they met and they fell in love, engaged, it was almost entirely on Blog Talk Radio and on Facebook Nation Builders. So I really wanted the audience to get to know them as I know them individually. I would like for the audience to get to know a portion of them as well as Brother Rakim this evening. So when you hear them doing their shows in the future, you will not feel so disconnected. You will know that we are, as we always say we are, we're one family, one beautiful,
right,
one divine family. So let's move on. Brother Rakim, if you could take it, I'm getting ready to do something in my car so I can hear you a little bit better. So if you could take it from there, Brother Rakim, you were as close to that courtship and the ongoing courtship as any of us. So, Brother Rakim, what would you like to bring this home for us?
You know something, brother. One thing I could say about that courtship, it was magic, brother. We don't believe in spook. We don't believe in a spook God. We believe in everything that's real, and we know that Allah is real. And that whole thing, like I said on Tuesday night, that whole thing, it was already written before the two were ever to meet or speak. It was already written before they were even born. So the day that what we're living in now was really, it was already written. I mean, we're just living to see this great connection. I mean, we had a show during that time. It was called the Great Divide. Wasn't it, Sister Gidget?
Yes, it was the Great Divide. Uh huh.
But we witnessed the great connection, the great love connection. And Brother Richard came on the show, praise be to Allah, and he damn near claimed his wife right then on the show. You know? Listen, he came on the show, and Brother Rakim, I picked up on it right away. I was like, yes, you know, this is something, there's something brewing here. I don't know exactly what it is just yet, but this is about to get deep. So I knew I had to go somewhere in my closet and dig deep and get my big black rubber boots, because this is going to be some deep ish, as they say. And it is deep and it's beautiful. And I said, I talked to Brother Richard, I talked to Sister Gidget, and I said, yes, this is a beautiful team. I just sat on the phone with them hours, like 2-3 hours at a time, maybe. And I just witnessed that, something beautiful is this. I mean, there's no way in the hell it could be scripted, or you're not seeing a situation where there are two people just coming together just to be together. You know, they come together because it seemed like they were made to be together. And Sister Gidget, straight gangster. I ain't gonna even lie to you. I'm gonna tell the whole damn audience, Sister Gidget, straight gangster. And guess what? After getting to know my brother Richard, is straight gangster too. But he's a FYI, Sister Gidget MGT. They brought gangsterism to the FYI and MGT. And together, they making, hey, listen, what they say, gangsters make the world go round. That brother and that sister, they making the world go round. As a matter of fact, we are witnessing that right now.
No. We're not gangsters.
Oh, really? So when your patrol ammunition down? Listen.
Wow.
It's the final call now in the Quran and the Bible. Yeah. And now it's your love for one another, the bounty that y'all, of love that y'all carry for one another. That's the ammunition. And we witnessing everything blowing up right in our face, like the World Trade. Just blowing up.
Well,
and this love story is blowing up all around the world. If anybody out there listens, you know I'm not lying, it's blowing up and it is beautiful.
Yes, sir, Brother Rakim. Thank you. I'd like to move to Brother Richard at this point. Brother Richard, at the point where you begin to know how this was coming together, yourself and Sister Gidget, how did you come across even the name Gidget, or even the understanding or hearing her voice? How did that find you, brother?
Well, first of all, let me make a correction. I didn't ask for a courtship. I asked her to marry me. My father is the orchestrator of all of this here. When you told me about Sister, I really wasn't interested in her. And you was telling me some gifts that you said she had. And, you know, I'm not one to play with my father. So I asked him, and he authenticated her gifts and told me that that's your wife, brother. He gave me instructions on how to deal with her, how to handle her, and most of all, how to protect and defend her. And so when I heard her voice, I was like, wow, okay. People picked up on it. But I was trying to hide because I really desired to lay the world at her feet because she's worthy of it. And when she made the call with you and she asked me the question, I tried to duck it, but the minute I got off the phone with her, my body had a yearning to hear her voice again, brother, because as I said so many times, her voice speaks to my soul. It soothes the side of me that sometimes people deems emotional, you know. And speaking with Sister, I had to call her back later on that night, maybe about 7 o'clock. And when I called her, I said to her exactly what my father told me to say. I introduced myself to her. I said, yes, I am he. I am your husband. And my father told me to tell you, if you fight me, you will lose. We went on to conversate, and basically that conversation took us to like 6 o'clock that next morning, and the only reason why I believe that the conversation stopped at that moment because I had to get ready to go to work. However, you know, my father was revealing to me as I was speaking to her aspects of her life that I would not have known except that he told me. So I never met sister. I don't know her, but I believe that when she heard that which was coming out of my mouth of things of her childhood, she realized that her future husband has a gift that is of divineness. And I hear from my father's mouth that which some don't hear, and they, you know, they don't understand, and they like to make mockery or whatever it is that, you know, those who choose to do. But, you know, it really don't matter. But what mattered is that she heard the message. And because she heard the message, I have been made whole. If I can briefly, brother Jason.
Yes, sir. Go ahead on, brother.
If I can briefly, because, you know, for the last 2 days, you know, my father has been he's been dealing with you, brother, and he wanted me to make clear 2 things to his people. The first, that I am commanded to make clear of, it comes from the book of Revelations, chapter 20, verse 12, because we're living in this year, 2012. And it reads, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead would judge out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The message that he wanted to be conveyed is to all those whom the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, his precious servant, he said, extended to us all a form which was called the form 4 or form 40, whatever the form number is.
It's form 4.
Oh, the form 4. And many of us have a problem with signing this form. But this form, the minister, from what I was told, said that if you're not willing to sign this, then you're not a part of this. That means your name is erased from that book of life. So let he who have ears hear, and let he who have eyes see the message that is coming from on high. I did not give it. I did not say it. I was told to deliver it, and I'm taking the emotions out of it, although they're great emotions. Therefore, me, for when I read this book, the second message is that to make clear
to what we're seeing when he established, this book says, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and he should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, and in the increase of his, and there should be a government upon his shoulders, and in the increase of this government, there shall be no end. Well, he established that which is the council, the executive council, and there are some who take issues with them. He said, don't do that, because what you're witnessing is the establishment of God's kingdom and the Islamic government on earth that has been designed to be raised in the West, that has been destroyed in the East of the time of the Holy Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah. So I just wanted to share these things with you. I'm not going to go into no long drawn out thing, and I'm not going to get emotional. The message is delivered. You do what it what you will.
Well, thank you, Brother Richard.
Yes,
next
sir.
Part,
thank you.
I would like to do, and I have to beg the audience's pardon because I am driving this evening. As I said, I was on post as we started Blog Talk Radio this evening. The work of an FOI is never done, as we all know. As Brother Richard just said, from the time that I signed my form for, I knew I had to get my soldier's shoes back on, and I had to buckle down because the work that was at hand to do the rebuilding at this time, it was going to require a lot of work. So, Mr. Gidget, I would like to have you at this point take it from where you were sitting. How did you see this, where a brother came to you in this fashion and asked you to receive him in this fashion? Could you expound on that, please?
Well, you know, I think the part of the story that I never told was that actually Brother Rakim and I were hosting a show on missing children, and Brother Richard actually called in, and of course, Brother Jason, you had made me aware of who he was. I mean, you know, that was a brother that you often conversed with, and a brother that you said that we shared some of the same insight. And so when he called in, actually, I was shocked. I was sitting here with my mouth hanging wide open because I don't know why, but I was just shocked that he called in and that he spoke directly to me by name. And so I was a little taken aback. And then, of course, I was officially introduced to him by you on the three-way conference call. And after talking to him that night, he, you know, like I said before, he didn't come with the, you know, the average line that a brother throw at a sister. You know, he came right out and said, yes, I am he, I am your husband. And I'm like, yeah, okay, you know. But to make a long story short, quickly, my defenses were down as Brother Richard began to expound on some events in my life. Like I said, some that I had forgotten about, some that I had possibly emotionally.
Yes, sister. No, our phone dropped. Hold on, guys. Let me call her back. Go ahead and talk, and I'll call her back.
All right. Thank you, Brother Caesar. I just wanted to bring in a portion of the story that many of us may have heard, but you probably never heard it from me. I would be in a position where I had to come in contact with Sister Gidget. She was working with a brother of mine, Brother Forrest, and I would have to speak with Sister Gidget to get some of the business that we were doing together. And so I would speak to
morning, and she would give me some advice and give me certain things that I needed to do. And I would speak to Brother Richard in the evening, and Brother Richard would give me almost the same advice and the same things that I needed to do, almost word for word. And because I'm in interaction with both of them in the course of a day, I said to myself, and I also said to each of them, that you two need to meet, because you're telling me things that I'm not hearing for the first time, but they are so insightful, and I have you two have to definitely meet, because I know Sister Gidget, and I also know Brother Richard, and I know that both of them share similar qualities. I learned, just like many of you have learned this evening, of the similar background in which they have grown up in. And I said, here's a brother and here's a sister that needs to meet. When I spoke to Sister Gidget, she said, well, you know, Brother Jason, I'm not looking for no brother. I'll talk to him as a sister would talk to a brother, but you know, I'm not looking for no brother like that. And I said, yes, ma'am. And similarly, I would talk to Brother Richard, and I said, well, there's a sister you need to meet, because sister's very insightful, and she would probably be able to help you with some of the things that you're going through. And he said, well, you know, Brother Jason, I'm getting my life, I'm studying, I'm working for my study, and I'm getting my life in order, and I'm not looking for any type of courtship, you know, that's down the line, but right now that's not interesting to me. Okay, yes, sir. So, as many of you know, as the story unfolded, I was not the one that it put them together. I was only a point of focus that both of their energies converged on, and it was my understanding that those needed to meet. And the story is that, this, as they say, it tells itself.
Yeah.
You back, sister?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, you can take it from there. I'm going to go on mute.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, after 13 hours of conversation almost, almost under 12 hours of conversation, you know, it just all came together for me. And all those defenses that I had built up over the years came tumbling down rather quickly. And so I knew immediately that it was something more special than something. Okay. Can you hear me?
It's just a Gidget.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Say something else.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. All right. I thought I heard some interference. Okay. Well, and you know, that's just how it came together. You know, it was a law ordained. There was no question anymore, even though I was somewhat reluctant. But, you know, I just can't explain it anymore, except for that a law actually intervened, because I had made up my mind that marriage was not for me, and that I was not going to pursue, neither was I going to be pursued. And so I kind of hung on to a masculine approach when dealing with my brothers. And Richard, of course, he was able to extract all of that from me, and I was able to just really get in touch with my femininity and really just look at him as more than a brother, and he ended up being the man that I love very much. So.
Yes, ma'am. All praise to you, Allah.
I love you, too.
Thank you, honey. Yes, and you know, I know Brother Jason is driving, and I'm going to help my brother out, because I know he's busy, and he was hosting this show, but I want to take a moment, and we want to talk about the gifts, because I know Brother Jason wanted to hit on this point about a lot of things that people don't understand, and a lot of things that we don't really address. And it's for a lack of understanding. And I know you've heard us use the word insight, and you know, you have to understand that Allah blesses whom he pleases. And my best example that I can give you right off the top of my head would be Noah. Noah was accused of drunkenness, but Noah was a civilization of people's passage from God's wrath. You know, he continued building the ark, and people were calling him crazy, and people were calling him a drunkard, and he continued to do what God had told him to do in spite of, and he ended up being able to save human life. And those that came and heard and understood were spared, and those that didn't, they, of course, perished. And I want to share with you out of the book of 1 Corinthians, and I'm just going to read a little bit. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially those that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in tongues does not speak in does not speak to man, but speaks to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. And I think we have to come to an understanding, y'all, that, you know, these things are not just in the Bible days. The Bible and the Quran are written in allegorical times. So some things are actually present. Some things are actually future. And, of course, a lot of things in the Bible and the Quran are actually past. And so we have to take a look at those of us who have been given specific insight and not label one another as misfits. And I think I said this on the last show, which I don't know how much of it was actually heard, but for many, many years, I'm 46 years old, for many, many years, I felt very strange because I heard the voice of Allah, and I'm claiming it because that's who it was. I didn't hear multiple voices. I don't see ghosts or anything like that, but I heard the voice of Allah speak to me ever since the age of 4 years old. And so there are certain things that Allah will tell me, and I would have to expound on those things. I have to tell Richard. I have to share it with Brother Rakim. I actually shared it with Brother Jason. As a matter of fact, that's how Brother Jason and I actually began our bond and our sister and brotherhood. And so, you know, it's very real for some of us. And some of us, we keep it inside because we're so afraid of being judged. But we're at that time now where we're going to have to prophesy some things to our brothers and sisters to save their lives because we are in those critical days. I think what makes Brother Richard and I so compatible is that we have not the exact same gift, but we have a very similar gift. And Brother Rakim, which I know, I don't think at this point he minds me sharing, Brother Rakim also has that particular gift as well as Brother Jason. And so, and I know I hope she's listening tonight, but our beloved sister, Native Angel, is also one that is gifted. And when I say gifted, I mean we have a direct connection with Allah. And, you know, you look at us as everyday, ordinary people, and we are. But we are people that are also divinely guided. And, you know, Minister Farrakhan is an extraordinary one, but we are ordinary ones. And so, you know, we get to a point where we have to. We're actually convicted to share what Allah has instructed us to share with particular people or with the masses of people. And so I call it the gift because it gives me a lot of insight, not for myself only, but for Richard and for people that I really love. And you know, sometimes I'm just drawn to people for a particular reason. And at the end of the day, it all unfolds that Allah had a specific intention for me to interact with a particular person or a group of particular people. And so I would like, if you would, Richard, I would like for you to kind of explain your gift to us.
Well, to be honest with you, you know, as me and Brother Jason, are y'all there?
Yes, sir, brother.
Yes, sir. You know, it was such a long time ago that it started, you know, and I was told to come to the mosque and deal with the noise.
Yeah, we're getting too much interference. If you are not talking right now, please put your phone on mute.
We don't have anybody on the phone with you guys.
Okay.
So I think you guys should put your phone on mute if you're not talking.
Okay. Go ahead, Brother Richard.
Well, you know, a long time ago, it's been years now, you know, my father, he contacted me. I'm going to try to do this without, you know, again, because it's something special and dear to me. Why me? I don't know, but I'm just happy he chose me because I choose him today. And he gave me a message to deliver, not just to the mosque, but he has put something in my mouth that I believe he is going to open my mouth very, very soon and give it to the people that is intended to receive it. But when I went to the mosque, they didn't want to hear what I had to say, and they told me I had to leave. To make a long story short, my dear brother Jason was the officer that escorted me to the out of the mosque, and I had tears in my eyes because they wouldn't hear me. And my father told me to be careful of how I cry and whom I get angry at, because it affects things. And he don't want me affecting things before their time. Take it for what it's worth. There's a reason why I'm putting this out there, and there's a reason why he made me come to you in the open, sister, and I'm going to share that. When I got put out of the mosque, I was out of the mosque for 3 years. You know, I spoke to the apostle. He told them to let me back in. They said that I forged the document as I gave it to them, and I was very, very hurt. Very hurt, you know. My brother, my dear brother Jason, would escort me out of the mosque repeatedly, and then one day he told me, he said, brother, I believe you. I believe you. Correct me if I'm lying, brother.
Brother, if you remember correctly, as I had to march you out, I told you that I believe you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I told you to stay strong. We here to obey as FOI.
Yes, sir. And you know, as my father said the things that he said to me, he said, brother, he said, I'm that which you call UFOs. Y'all don't see what y'all call the outfit with boys, but I see them frequently. They let me know they monitoring me. They let me know that they're there. It makes me no difference because you can't do what you want to do anyway. But he told me that open your mouth and defend my servant. Defend the believers. There's not one believer in New York City.
Thank you.
You there, brother?
Yes, it's the noise, brother. It's very irritating to me. Muhammad Miles number 96, where I had the privilege of being a captain there, whom I love the believers there, and I know they still love me as I speak to them sometimes. You know, those who he has blessed me to come in contact with, they was blessed. He has blessed me to share some things with them, whereas they themselves know that my father speaks directly to me. I'm not saying this to be a big shot. No, I'm just your brother. But he wants these things to be manifested now, because too many of us are not working. We don't believe that he is who he is, and we really is hesitant in believing that the apostle is who he is. Let me remind y'all of something. As me and my dear brother Jason was speaking of, do y'all remember when they killed the FOI in Texas? And he got on the dais amongst the preachers and pastors in that city. And he said that you killed one of mine. He said, you pray to your God to save this city, and I'm going to pray to my God to destroy it, and we'll see who answers who. And before he left that city, the rain began to fall, and the very next day, that particular area was underwater. There's some who can testify to a brother getting hit by a there's some who can testify to a brother being hit by, I believe, a tractor-trailer truck in Chicago. And all these pastors went and prayed for brother. And they did nothing. But when the apostle came, he stood there and certain things happened. Now, I'm not spooky, but I have to make you to know him. And I have been commissioned to defend him, and I intend to do that even if it means my life, because without him I would have no life. Too few of us believe in him. Too many of us play with him as if he's just mere entertainment. My father has said that day is over. From this day forward, whomever disrespects his servant,
it has to be coming from one of your phone lines. Who's ever on the panel, it has to be coming from the phone line.
Whomever disrespects his servant, they will receive chastisement immediately. They are angry, so very angry. And this is why I opened up with the book of Revelation. This is the book and the hour that we are in, the final chapter. There's some who can hear my voice, and they hear me, because my father has made them to hear me. There's some that would like to make mockery of me, but he have told me to tell you that before you would be able to make mockery of me, you would look up, and everything that I would say out my mouth shall come to pass. I have learned through trial and error to be obedient to my father. And whatever he gives me to say, I shall say. If you ask me, did he say this, that, and the other, and he didn't say it, I will humble myself and admit, I don't know. but that which he tells me to say, he has told me to say, that the book of Revelation has been opened, and the seals are beginning to be broken. And every time that one of us do something in his house that is not correct, a seal shall be broken, and destruction has begun. There's so much that I want to say to you all, but you will come to know the gift that I have and the power that is with me. I'm not worrying about my unseen enemy. I'm going to speak to you now. He has said to me to tell you that if you fight me, he will fight you. If you are bold enough to attack me, he will straight out kill you. So you do with me what you will. But I'm not going to run from you. I will run to you because I have his backing. Jesus has said, greater works ye shall do than I, if you only have faith the grain of a mustard seed. We don't believe that the power that our apostle has been displaying to us for all these years is true. He is going to make those whom he has been giving gifts rise up, that you all who are in a state of disbelief would know that he has come for you, and he intends to sit you in heaven and give you powers and make you rulers in the land where your fathers was once slaves. You can take it or let it alone, but my father is alive and well, and he is in power.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Richard, for sharing that with us. Brother Rakeem.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell us kind of when it started with you?
I think it started with me, sister, from the time I was a child. It's actually a gift that runs through my family. One person in particularly, or a few people, I must say, in particular, or my grandmother and her sisters. And then my mother, she also has that gift. And so it has ran so deep with me throughout the years that I have people telling me, please, Brother Akeem, don't dream about me. Because when I dream about something, it either it happens, or it hits so close to home that it almost happens, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
There was a brother, for example, and I don't sleep to have these visions. I don't even sleep, period, really. I mean, for the past 2 years, I suffer from severe insomnia. So when I have these dreams or visions, I'm wide awake as I am now. One day in particular, I was at work, and I was working with this brother, womanizer, and I'm working, and plain as day, I can see this brother, somebody shoots this brother. I think I told you about this, Sister Gidget.
Yes, sir.
Somebody shoots the brother, and it scares me. I'm like, I'm working. Where this come from? I mean, just out the blue, I have a vision of this brother getting shot. And so I run to the brother. I said, brother, I said, I don't know what you're doing, what you got going on. And it's like probably, it's like soon as I had the vision, I ran to where he was at, and I said, brother, I don't know what you got going on. I don't know who you're dealing with. I don't know what you're doing, but whatever you're doing, brother, you need to stop, because I just had a vision that you got shot. Well, 2 weeks later, the brother calls me. He's scared to death. He was at his sister's house, who was not honest with him about whether or not she had a man that she was dealing with. And the brother came, and he was looking down the barrel of a gun. The brother told me he's going to kill him if he don't get the hell out of his house. And the brother calls me. He said, Rakim, he said, man, he said, please, don't dream about me no more. Don't tell me nothing else. Because, he said, I just looked down the barrel of a gun. A brother's threatened to take my life because I was at his woman's house.
Wow.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to chime in. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Right. I just wanted to chime in for the radio audience. If anyone would like to call in and hit the number one button, if there are any questions, because I'm sure there are questions, but people are feeling some kind of way about the subject matter. But we never promised you that Blog Talk Radio was going to be soft. We never promised you that Blog Talk Radio was going to be uncontroversial. We did promise you that we were going to give you quality content and truth. What I would like to say is this. We as Muslims believe in the seen as well as the unseen. And that you do not see, you should study. There are things that go on that are very close to us, vibrations that we feel, but we don't yet put form to those feelings. And what I'm saying is, don't negate that which you feel. It's better to know, and it's better to study to know. But if you feel something, don't negate it, because as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad wrote in the study guide, that the self-accusing spirit, that little voice, if you nurture that self-accusing spirit, and you continue to listen to that self-accusing spirit, that self-accusing spirit is the voice of God in its infant state. And if you continue to nurture and you continue to grow that self-accusing spirit, it becomes the voice of God inside of you. So I don't want you to think that we're all spooked out. I would like to say the dimensions as they're set, those of us who would like to study them, I'll run through them very quickly. The first dimension is as though you had a street. You know, you live on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. That's a street. The second dimension would be the cross street. I live on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and 2nd Avenue. That's the first and second dimension. The third dimension is you're on the corner of Martin Luther King Jr. 2nd Avenue, but now you find yourself on the third floor of a building that lies on those cross streets. That's the third dimension. The fourth dimension deals with time. So I'm on the corner of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., 2nd Avenue, on the third floor at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's the fourth dimension. Now we come to the fifth dimension, which is the fifth dimension is the dimension of information. And that dimension comes outside of time and space. So all the information, everything that I'm wearing, all the clothes that I have, what's inside of my head, on the third floor at 3 o'clock between Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and 2nd Avenue. That's the fifth dimension. The fifth dimension also deals with the fifth chakra, which is found in your throat. The reason why I asked the questions in the beginning about how music plays a part in the lives of these believers is because it needs to be vocalized. And as I'm studying this phenomenon, if you call it that, there was also heavy trauma in the lives of these believers. The trauma that many of us find in our early lives. Somebody was abused. Somebody was beat. Somebody came up and someone very close to them at an early age died suddenly. And those traumas, in that the believer never cursed God, but they sought understanding. And when they went to seek understanding in that moment of trauma, the gift of sight in many instances is opened up in a baby state. Some of us do not have control over it, and we need to find and seek counsel with those who do so you don't feel as though you're going crazy. And I've seen some throughout the year of our believing brothers and sisters who have had the gift that abused it and abused themselves and eventually did go crazy. So I'm saying that with a touch of warning
to all of my beloved brothers and sisters who are listening, who may be listening, that this is nothing to play with. It's not a game. It's not for us to open up a parlor on the corner and ask for money because now I can read your palm or I can read some tea leaves or cards. It's not about that. This gift was given to you for free, and if you're supposed to use it in the benefit of humanity. Would anyone like to chime in on that?
Actually, I have a question from 646. I'm being honest with you guys. We got a lot of 646s, so I need to give the last. I'm gonna give the next three numbers. 737, 646, 737. Go ahead and ask your question, please.
That's me, beloved.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, man. I see you. Okay. Well, I guess that's it. That's the only question mark I see right now. We can go ahead and take it away, man. Do what you do.
All right. Thank you, Brother Steven. So would anyone like to expound on that? I just wanted to bring some scientific background or scientific bearing a witness to a spiritual thing. So if anyone would like to chime in, please.
Yes, sir, beloved. You know, many of us, we're attempting to tune in, but for some reason or another, our frequencies is being blocked. And the apostle, I'm talking about the humble Mr. Louis Farrakhan, who is a wise man. He understands what our Father is attempting to do to us or give to us. And so what he said was, get audited. The audited, getting audited is to remove the blockage that it may clear the frequency channel. They deal with M-grams with the negative energy that is stored in certain dynamics of the brain cell. And I had a chance to touch on some of the things that they deal with. And it is wonderful when you can cleanse your soul, when you are able to be on such a frequency. And had it not been for me touching on this auditing and dealing with the Dianetics, I would never have started the process of analyzing self, and I probably wouldn't have been able to tune in to see a true blessing and a gift that was given to me.
So
when you speak of the self-accusing spirit, beloved, that voice is really the voice of our Father trying to guide us to a safety zone. But you know, when you see these things coming to pass now, we say, some of us, oh, who they think they are? Oh, are they serious? Is they for real? But he told you that in that day, in that hour, there'll be angels standing on the corners to guide you. Do you think that angels are unseen? When the very Quran that you say you believe in says that angels are men and women? Or do you deny the truth of the book that comes from your Lord? Or are we so much in a state of disbelief now that we can't see our Father sitting on the throne in power? The power that he has been given by Master Farag Muhammad. I'm going to say that again. The power that he has been given by Master Farag Muhammad is the power that is spoken about in your lessons, where it talks about what
makes rain, hail, snow, and earthquake. But do we not believe that he is indeed the Son of Man, the God who sits upon the throne in power and rulership today? But we don't see ourselves in the book, and so the book remains a mystery to us. Would you sit up at home and wait for that mystery God to bring you food, clothing, and shelter?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, brother.
You know, I'm gonna say this. I knew from a very early age that I had to apply my gift in the benefit of our people. And so it's almost like you're not given a choice, because either you're going to obey now, but
yes,
you're going to obey later for sure.
Yes, ma'am.
So, you know, it's a beautiful work for me, I guess because I was so young and I was able to grow and develop into the knowledge of Allah and have that personal relationship with him, and it makes it easy for me. But we have those that have rebelled and they have paid a heavy price. It doesn't mean that we don't suffer. It doesn't mean that our life is easier. You know, it doesn't mean that we have the world at our feet and we don't have to go through anything to get through and to get to the next point. We do. We are so ordinary human beings, but we have an extraordinary relationship with Allah. And everything that we go through is a test. It's a test of our faith. It's a test of our loyalty and our willingness to be obedient to Allah. And so I learned early on not to be rebellious, that I had to somehow do what Allah had commissioned me to do, and I could not deviate from that path. It was just not a choice. And so throughout the years, I've always been involved in the mosque. I've always been involved in the community. I've always worked with children. I've always worked in the line where I am providing services, because you have to get to a place where you can actually interact with people and reach a lot of people and give them the message that Allah has assigned you to give to them. So it's a struggle trying to get people to understand you. And so I decided a long time ago, I'm not going to explain it, but I'm going to do my father's business. And so I think we decided to come out, because I know a lot of people had a problem understanding Brother Richard. You know, they didn't understand why was he so emotional, and I was like, he's just passionate because he has a loving heart, and Allah has fashioned him that way because he has to have an understanding of the plight of the people and what the people go through in order for him to give the message that Allah has designated for the suffering. Because when people are suffering, it is so easy for them to lose faith. So Richard is one that speaks to those that are suffering, and he can feel their pain, and he has that passion, and he has that willingness to deliver that message. I'm, on the other hand, I'm a little more rough around the edges. I'm a little more clear cut and dry and precise. I'm going to call you out, either you do, either you don't, and then I'm done. So we all have different styles. Brother Rakim is militant. He might beat some sense into you. You know, that's how he is. Brother Jason is a more passionate, laid-back, quiet kind of brother. But he's, if you ever had a conversation with Brother Jason, you would understand that he is also divinely gifted. So I just wanted to share that with the audience to kind of give them a broad, you know, spectrum of how this works and how we are all gifted in different ways. And Sister Native Angel is not here with us tonight, but I want to tell her, if she's listening, that she did such a remarkable job on the show that we had and telling us about the people. But let me tell you something about the indigenous people. They, in a large population of them, more so than you find in what we call the African American, the Hispanic American, or whatever you want to call them, more than any other race of people, the indigenous people have a direct connection with Allah, almost like second nature, because they relate to the creation of Allah, and that is this earth. So the earth in itself is precious to them. And so a lot of people don't understand that they really converse with a higher power through the creation of the world, and that's how Allah brings a particular people a particular understanding. And so Sister Native Angel is also gifted in a very unique way, and a lot of indigenous people are. So I just wanted to, you know, to be clear that it's not anything to be spooky about. Some of the people that's out here listening also have divine gifts that they either won't tap into, they're either running from it, they're being disobedient. But if you don't bow now, you're going to bow later. So it's your choice. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Brother Jason?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, you still with us?
Yes, ma'am. I'm just dropping off some brothers here. And that was Brother Malik, also sends the greetings to everyone.
Return the greetings, brother.
Yes, he just left the vehicle, but he was listening, and he was enjoying the show as well.
Thank you.
Thank you a lot.
Can I beg my pardon for a second, if I can? I just have one more thing that I'd like to share, if it's possible, Brother Jason.
Yes, sir, brother. You know this is your show, and you know this is Sister Gittin's show, so I don't know why you're acting like this is not your show. I'm just hosting.
Well, brother, none of this is really truly ours, you know. And when you have a level of heightened awareness, and you learn to respect the God when you see Him, brother, and I see Him in you, brother, and you know, let me just get to my father's business, you know, and I'll speak to you off the air, because I need for you to see something that is with me right now, and you can bear witness to the truth of the matter. To the brothers that are disrespecting the MGT, I have a direct message for you from my father, and I'm not going to get emotional about it, but again, it comes from the Book of Revelation. Chapter 3, verse 9. He says that there are some FOI who say they are of him and they disrespect his doors. He says, tell them, brother, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which they say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. You do yourself a disservice, disrespecting his daughters. He have instructed me to tell you that if you continue in your madness, that he will lay death at your door. Do with the message again what you want, but the days of the MGT being disrespected, walking the street being disrespected, from the time that he had made me to open my mouth, you can better believe it is over. For every brother that don't believe, then do what you want.
I guarantee you, when them seals is broken, you will see and you will want to repent, but there will be no repentance for you this day. And I'm speaking direct to the brothers and to those in the nation tonight, and he have told me to tell you why. Because he said when the chastisement start, it would start in his own house. He wanted clean. There's an element that is in his house that say they are of him, but they have come into him, his house, to make trouble amongst the righteous. And he has want you to know that he sees you, and he have made me to see you. I'm not dependent upon nobody else but him, and I'm not afraid of you. And if he makes me to call you out, I will. Do with it what you want.
Wow. Okay. Brother Rakim.
Yes, ma'am.
I think we almost at that time, maybe.
Yes, ma'am. We're getting close to the end of the show, and I just wanted to go as Brother Richard has given some final words. If there are some final words that you would like to say, Brother Rakim, Sister Gizzy, and we're going to close the show.
I will say this, Brother Richard. I appreciate that, and I will say the same. I will say not only the MGT, any black woman. Any black woman, or shall I say any woman, period, because as a Muslim, we're not to be disrespectful to any woman, whatever race or creed that you may be, but especially the mother of civilization, the black woman. So, you brothers who feel like you can duck and dodge the MGT because you don't want the responsibility of being an FOI, because the MGT really going to teach you what it is to be a FOI once you deal with her. You want to run to a lost found sister, and you think that you can run to this lost found sister and take advantage of her because she don't know what the hell is going on, and she don't know anything about your general orders or restrictive laws or whatever. I mean, if you think that you can duck and dodge like that, you're seriously mistaken. Allah and the gods are coming for you. So that is something that is very, very important that must be said, because a lot of your brothers are playing, really. I'm not only the FOI, Christian brothers as well, playing with the sisters in the church, and a lot of FOI want to come into the Nation of Islam like this is the church. This ain't the church. It's the house of Almighty God Allah. And you will be put out, or you gonna straighten up and be put out. That's just the bottom line. So, Brother Richard, I wish you were around a few months ago, when we had brothers disrespecting the MGT. And Brother Rakim had to stand up by himself to defend the MGT because I was saying things that other brothers were afraid to say.
I'm sorry, brother. I ain't mean to interrupt you, but I have to say this. It's not me, brother, and I'm not going to take credit for saying what I said. I'm telling you, it comes direct from the mouth of my father. He did not tell me about no lost found sisters. He did not say anything about no Christian sisters. He said, tell them, his daughters, take it or leave it. But he is ready to kill you, brothers. You can sit there and play with it, but I'm telling you, he have made me to see the end of the story. And you will soon to know, come to know, what I say out my mouth, he will back it. I'm not worrying about anybody attacking me. Go on, if you feel that you can do it. But I will guarantee you, before you raise your arm against me.
of minutes left, y'all, and I want to say this because I often hear this, and I have to say what's on my heart. And you know, we are always found talking about the FOI and how they handle the MGT. And let me come out in defense of my brothers because I'm a brother, sister, and I'm an MGT. And so in that circle of sisterhood, let me also warn my sisters who are not being forthright with our brothers, because just as precious as the MGT is, Allah loves his soldiers as well. And so we as MGT must not be found being other than ourselves. And we must not continue, and I do say continue, to put our brothers in harm's way. We have been blessed with an army of mighty men that will put their lives on the lines for us. And oftentimes, it has been for foolishness, because we have been foolish in our behavior. Because just like FOI run around for lost found sisters, sisters run around with lost found brothers too. But the minute that that brother says something or put his hands on that sister, who we gonna call? We're going to go straight to the FOI. And the brothers are going to handle their business. But what happened? How would you feel if something happened to one of our brothers coming in defense of you because you decided to do something that you weren't supposed to do? So I just want to say that on behalf of the FOI, and because I love my brothers and I know what kind of brothers I have. I know some brothers that will go to the line for you. My brother Jason, my brother Rakim, my brother Rashid will go to the line for you. But let's not put our beloved soldiers in harm's way.
Let me make his message clearer, because this seems to be off frequency here. And I'm going to say it again. I am not talking to the FOI. There are those who say they are FOI, but they are not FOI. Just like there are Jews, some who say they are Jews, but they are not Jews. The FOI know who they are, and those who I'm speaking to, you know who the hell I'm speaking to. Do what you want, but I guarantee you play with me today, you will meet your death. Straight up.
Okay. All right, Brother Jason.
Yes, ma'am.
You going to take us home?
Right. It's now 10:59.
He just got through driving. He done took some folks home.
Yes, sir, brother. I'd like to thank the panelists tonight. Brother Rakim, Mr. Gidget, Brother Richard, I'd like to thank our esteemed brother, Brother Black Caesar, for the audio tonight. And we would like to thank all those who listened. I would have prayed that there have been more calls. And inshallah, next Tuesday you can hear our show, The Real FOI. Next Thursday, please be out, Sister Gidget's show. And bring your questions through the Facebook, as you know how to hit us on Nation Builders. I'd like to give love to all those who have been working to maintain the Nation Builders site, and also the love that has been given and shown between believers. Thank you again, brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters who are listening. May Allah bless you and keep you as we greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sir.
Thank you, DJ Caesar. Get better, get well, feel better.
Sister Gidget, can you go ahead and give a list of shows that come on throughout the week, please?
Yes, okay. On Tuesday night, we have the Real FOI, and that show can be hosted by Brother Richard, Brother Jason, and Brother Rakim. You never know. On Wednesday night, we have DJ Black Caesar and Vienna Show, where Black Caesar interviews new artists and plays new music. And you really need to listen in, because some of these new artists coming out got some beautiful music going on. On Thursday,
oh, yes,
we'll be back with our Nature Building Show at 8 o'clock as usual. And on Sunday, for this month only, we're doing independent businesses, but that is our traditional relationship show. Starting the first Saturday in August, we're going to be hosting The Keys, which is The Keys to Success. So that's a business technology show coming out of Mosque Number 7. Minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad will sometimes be on that show, but it will be headed by Sister Lafika Muhammad. So please join us. Hopefully we have something that you want to talk about, something that you're interested in. But next Thursday, I want you to join us for a very interesting show, because we're going to have I Wanna Wife, and I'm going to have a panelist of four single eligible FOI who are ready to find a wife. So please tune in.
Thank you, Sister Gidget. I appreciate that. And guys, you need to tune in to my show on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock Central Time. We not only have independent artists, but we do majors. So Sister Gidget left that out, but I'm letting you guys know we do major artists. So you guys missed a great show. You missed a great show this Wednesday. This Wednesday we had Brother Rakim was on that show, and we also had Wu-Tang affiliate Dungeon Master, and we had Life Jennings' little brother Jay Jennings, and we had my man Tico Moore, better known as the Iceman. So you guys are missing some great shows. I would like to get all these FOIs and MGTs. I'd like to get all you guys involved. If you can, just come out and enjoy it, man. It's a great show. It's all clean. We don't do too much dirty music, but we do play curse words. But but most of my people, they really don't do that. So we keep it clean. So if you guys come in, we'll keep it clean for you. All right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well, like.